Good to be here. I told Wayne and Larry that I would take every third Sunday for them. And so we'll look at a couple of passages of Scripture this morning. It's good to see everybody. Before we turn to these passages, let's have prayer. Our Lord, we bow in your presence, your gracious Lord, your good, your long-suffering, your very forgiving. Very forgiving to a people that needs forgiveness daily. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being so patient with us. And thank you for giving us this day. It's you that's awakened us this morning and given us the strength to move and live and have our being. You've given us our food. Everything we have this morning, Lord, has come at your hands. We thank you for it. Thank you for letting us be here this morning to worship with your people. Lord, receive our worship. Bless your word to our hearts. Bless those who aren't here and bless those who are sick. And, Lord, watch over our country. We know that it's evil because man's hearts are evil. We thank you that you've blessed this nation and you've upheld it all these years. And you've used it for your glory, a means to support so many others. You've called so many of your people out of it. And what a great trial that it's in now. We pray, Lord, that you'd uphold our leaders and move upon their minds, their hearts in your hands, to do that which is just and right. And we pray for your people, your churches, that you'd give them grace to look to you daily and live lives that would honor you and praise you. Give us hearts this morning, Lord, to understand and worship you this day, this Lord's day that you've given us. In our Savior's name, amen. In 2 Kings chapter 2, two passages of Scripture, 2 Kings chapter 2 and Luke's Gospel chapter 24. Luke's Gospel chapter 24. We have these two men, we're told of three men, that ascended up to heaven. We're told of Elijah, and we're told of the Lord Jesus Christ. In particular, these two, I want to look at them this morning. Mainly, the contrast in their ascension up to heaven. But let's read it in 2 Kings chapter 2, and let's begin in verse 9. You'll know the context of this story. For some way or another, just about everybody knew, the prophets knew, that this was the day the Lord was going to take Elijah up. And Elijah wouldn't let him go. He kept saying, you know, you stay here and I'll go to Jordan and I'll go to Bethel. And he said, no, I'm going with you. Because he knew the Lord was going to take him up. And so this is the account of that. In verse 9, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over Jordan, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou shalt see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. That's amazing, isn't it? And Elijah saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Now, over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, in verse 50, this is one of the accounts that the Holy Spirit was pleased to leave us, and the apostles wrote it down, of the ascension of the Lord Jesus up to heaven. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and verse 50, and he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Now, I want to mainly look at the contrast of the ascension of these two men and some things surrounding their ascension. They were both Jews. We know the tribe of our Lord. His was the tribe of Judah. We don't know what tribe Elijah came out of. But they were both Jews and they were both prophets. Elijah was a prophet of God. Of course, the Lord Jesus was that prophet. And they both ascended up to heaven, and they both are there this day. They both are in heaven. But the contrast is what I wanted to look at this morning. And first of all, Elijah's ascension to heaven. Boy, it was in a tempestuous environment. The fire, chariots of fire, a chariot of fire swooped down and picked him up, and the whirlwind, it said, carried him up to heaven. His ascension was sort of like him. He was a fiery guy. Boy, the times that he called down fire out of heaven. Remember the captain and his men that came up to capture him one time, and he called down fire from heaven and destroyed the captain and his men. Another time on Mount Carmel, when he had the sacrifices spread out, he called down fire from heaven and licked it up. Another time he was in a cave at Mount Sinai, and the wind came by, was so severe it rent the rocks. A fire passed by, but the Lord wasn't in it, and he spoke by still small voice. So how fitting it is for this man, according to his own character and his ministry, be taken up in a whirlwind and chariot of fire. But when we look at the Lord Jesus' ascension there in Luke chapter 24, wasn't it so different? And I think as Elijah's taken up was sort of representative of his character and his ministry, the Lord's ascension was more like his character. He wasn't like Elijah at all, was he? He wasn't fiery like he was. He never lifted up his voice and cried out in the streets as Elijah did. He was a meek and lowly man. That was his character. And when he spoke, he seldom lifted up his voice unless he just meant to be heard. And how fitting it was that when he ascended up to heaven, it was quiet. There was no fire. There was no wind. It was calm and peaceful and quiet. And the disciples watched him ascend up to heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. A cloud, it said, received him out of their sight. So the contrast between their ascension. Secondly, Elijah ascended up to heaven by outside forces, by outside means. It was said here a chariot swooped down and he was carried up to heaven by a whirlwind. In other words, he was taken up, not by his power or by his strength, but by outside forces and outside means. He had no strength of nature to ascend to heaven himself. It wasn't any power of his flesh to ascend. A whirlwind took him up to heaven. Angels probably in these chariots. But the Lord Jesus Christ's ascension was so different, wasn't it? He ascended to heaven by his own inherent power. We're not told that a chariot took him up, a whirlwind took him up, or angels carried him. He was carried, but by his own power, his inherited power. He said this, "No man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." And he ascended to heaven by his own authority, by his own power, without any outside means or help. That's the contrast in these two men. There was a contrast in their life's work too, wasn't it? You remember, if you read the context of Elijah, I guess he was an old man. It's obvious that he was getting tired and somewhat aggravated with his life's work. He said, "Lord, I'm the only one left that is doing your will and doing your service." And the Lord told him, said, "You go and anoint Elijah to take your place, your room, in your office." So when he ascended up to heaven, he left work to be done, didn't he? And that's why the mantle, someone said the mantle that he dropped for Elijah was just a symbol of the transference of his office and his work to another prophet. He left with work undone. I sometimes talk to Shelby Fortner and ask her what she's doing. She says, Don has left so much work for me to do. She's there in the office every day doing Don's work that he left her. He left work undone. All of God's servants left work undone. But what about Jesus Christ our Lord? Larry, when he left nothing undone, did he? He lifted up his voice, and what did he say? It's finished. It is finished, was his cry, now in heaven exalted high. He never left anything undone. It's finished. He never ascended up to heaven until he had purged our sins. He never ascended up to the right hand of God until he had obtained eternal redemption for us. What a contrast in these two men. One had to have his office transferred, just like those priests transferred their office when they died from one priest to another. But when our Savior ascended, he left nothing undone. Nothing at all undone. And Elijah had no power after his ascension to affect any of the work that was unfinished. But when our Savior ascended to heaven, the work that was to be done by his church, he yet had power to affect that work, didn't he? It said in Mark's gospel that they went everywhere and preached the word, the Lord working with them. What work we remained to be done was the different kind of work, not of atoning for sin, not of obtaining a redemption, but the application of what had already been done. Fourthly, what a contrast in what these two men are doing in heaven now, after they ascended. Elijah rests from his labor. That's what he's doing now. He's resting from his labor. He's sitting with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. That's what he's doing. He's just resting and he's worshiping. And that's all he's going to do. But what's the Lord Jesus Christ doing in heaven? He's a minister still, isn't he? His work of redemption was accomplished on earth, and the Bible tells us now that he's a minister of the sanctuary. He entered God's presence. Why? On our behalf. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Elijah is affecting nothing in this world. He's affecting nothing in this world. What is Jesus Christ affecting? Everything. There's a vast difference, a contrast in what they're doing. And he says, every elect soul, because I live, you shall live also. He says, because I ascended, the eternal purpose of God will be accomplished. Because I have ascended, the will of God will be done. Because Christ has ascended, heaven will be populated with humanity. He is still affecting everything in heaven and everything upon this earth. That's the contrast between these two men and their ascension. And I want to hint here at another contrast of their ascension. Elijah ascended alone. Nobody ascended up with him. They watched him. One watched him, but nobody went up with him. He went up alone. But you know the Bible hints that when Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, there was a great host ascended there with him. You remember after his resurrection, a great number of saints, Old Testament saints, they arose from the dead. Did you ever wonder when they went to heaven? I can't believe that they went there before he did. Because they never rose before he did, and I doubt if they entered there before he did. I think they went there together. When he ascended, they ascended with him. I want you to look over in Psalms chapter 24 right quickly. The commentators, as far as I know, attribute this psalm to the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, him entering heaven. I want you to look at it in Psalms 24 and verse 7 through verse 10. Look at this, verse 7. when the Lord Jesus ascended up to heaven, this is the words attributed to him as he's standing outside the gate, as it were. In verse 7, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." That's what he says. That's what they say while they're standing outside. And from the inside, they answer this: "Who is this King of glory?" And he answers back, "The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle." He's returning from his battle of defeating Satan, destroying his works, atoning for sin, satisfying the justice of God. And he said, "I am he that's mighty in battle." In verse 9, they say that again: "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." And it's asked from within again, "Who is this King of glory?" And the answer from without is, "The Lord of hosts." You know what that word means? The Lord of many. He's the Lord of hosts. And I bet if we'd have been standing there, we'd have saw the host with him. "Open up. I've got my people with me, my resurrected saints." And they all went in together. If this psalm is what the commentator said is, then the saints went to heaven with the resurrected Christ. They ascended when he ascended. He went not back alone. And sixthly and finally, their ascension contrasts in regard to the effects that it has upon the hopes of humanity for the future. When Elijah ascended to heaven, his resurrection give no hope to Elisha, or the other prophets. His ascension was for himself alone. But it did not increase the hopes of Elijah or others. Elijah didn't say, "There goes my hope. I have hope because he ascended." But what believing, but what bearing does Christ's ascension have upon the hopes of all who believe him? My goodness, it has everything to do with our hope, does it not? His ascension is the promise and surety of their ascension and their everlasting life. Listen to what he says: "I go to prepare a place for you." He said that when he ascended, didn't he? And he says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And they who are alive and remain shall be caught up with him to meet the Lord in the air." What does his ascension have to do with our hope? Everything. Because he ascended, we have the hope of ascending, don't we? He's our forerunner that's already entered there for us. So as we look this morning at his ascension, it not only gives them hope, there's my hope of ascending. It gives us hope. Just as he ascended, and because he ascended, you shall ascend, and I shall ascend, and everyone that believes on him. Elijah ascended and entered heaven for himself. Jesus Christ ascended and entered heaven as the forerunner and surety of the multitudes that will follow him to heaven. The ascension to heaven of our Lord and Savior is the God-given witness that the church in heaven and the church on earth will soon have a happy greeting and an inseparable reunion. Isn't that wonderful? We've got so many friends now. We've lived long enough that we've got a lot of friends there in heaven. And won't it be glad someday? Won't it be a happy reunion when we shall meet them? Somebody said, "We're going to be with the Lord." Yes, and we're going to worship him as we long to worship him here with undimmed eyes and an unsinning heart. But brothers and sisters, we're going to see those again who have departed. I've talked a lot and thought a lot about Brother Fortner since he's gone. And we'll see him again. And we'll know him. And we'll sit down with him and rejoice and talk and with all the saints. Little Joey's there, isn't he? Your dad's there. And we'll see him. And we'll never depart again. What a day that will be. The Lord bring it to pass. They're essential. The Lord bless His word.